Again, good morning. It's good to see you all here. I hope that your heart is lifted up today. In song, in God's Word, it's very good. The season of Advent is traditionally a season of reflection, of taking a time to think and ponder the expectant waiting and a preparation for both the nativity of Jesus that we see and also Christmas. But our thoughts then go to that second coming also. And we've seen that throughout this season as we've looked at God's Word and talked about waiting and how we wait and all those things. In fact, some traditions in Eastern Orthodox, the celebration of the nativity of Advent is a 40-day fast. And do different things. Other practices that we see that are associated with Advent are things that we do, like keeping an Advent calendar or the Advent candles and the wreath. Even things like special devotionals or prayers, the putting up of a Christmas tree, the decorations that we do, and other preparations like this point us, prepare us for Christmas and for the coming of a Savior. It's all intended to direct us in our thoughts and actions into the joy of an arrival of a Savior. Because we need a Savior. And it's about the patience and the perseverance of waiting in a world that's groaning even today. It's a time of reflection, of peace, of quiet. And then there's American Christmas. And somewhere along the way, it just got crazy. Now, I love the things we do. But we all know a reality of stress and consumerism and how it just gets its little fingers in the things we do. We look with concern at the billowing of credit card debt that happens every year right about this time. You know, of having to keep up with people, having to meet expectations. You gave me a gift, I have to give one in kind. And we go on and on. It gets so stressful. I feel it. I look at our Amazon orders and going, what in the world are we doing sometimes? But it's fun. It is fun. So today, help us to slow down a little bit. Let's just take a breath. Maybe today, maybe next day and tomorrow, next couple days, we can just put the brakes on a little bit and really enjoy the season for what it is. A time of reflection and expectant waiting as we seek a proper response to these great tidings of joy that we've been reading about today. So today, I really just want to walk us through these scriptures that we've seen. Just take a moment to think and listen and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? What is the response that you would desire of our hearts today? I want to start in the reading we had in Luke that Josiah just read. By the way, thank you all for your readings today. It was wonderful. In that story of Mary going to meet Elizabeth, we see something wonderful happen. You see that something special is happening here. We see a response that is unique. First, this baby, John the Baptist, leaps for joy. Now, it seems to me that there's normal kicking and pushing. And, I remember one time with Emma, and she was laying on the couch, and all of a sudden, it's like, towers poking up in her leg or something was sticking. I mean, what in the world? So I can't imagine what it'd be like. little creepy maybe, but to have this, all of a sudden this, whoa, there's Jesus, and John the Baptist knew even there. That's special. It's exciting. It's something that's important. So we see that Elizabeth and John, I think, recognized a couple of things when they came to the one is that this baby that Mary had in her was the Lord. This was the Lord. This was God made flesh. That's amazing. We don't want to lose that. We don't want to lose that awe, that excitement, that realization of who this baby was. It's incredible. And we see in that Luke passage an element of fulfillment, of joy in an understanding that this was God's intention, that this was his purpose. You know, when Elizabeth, filled with the Spirit, saying, "Blessed are you among women," and this fruit, that this is something that God intended. In that last verse, in verse 45, it says, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken." Or you could even read it as, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment." There will be a fulfillment. And that fulfillment was that baby. And Elizabeth, by the Spirit, understood that fulfillment was here. This was Advent. And that idea of fulfillment then, I think, brings us into passages like the one we read in Micah today. The Lord had long, long been promising a Savior, a Messiah. Now, it had been a long, hard road for God's people. There had been 400 years since the last prophet. 400 years. It's hard to imagine that. That's a long time. A lot happens, and yet, even that culture, they held on. They held on to that hope that there was a Messiah coming. There was a Messiah coming. And we see this passage in Micah as talking about Jesus. And looking back, we can see. And as I pondered these verses, I was struck by, first, the humility that we see here. "O Bethlehem, you who are too little to be among the clans of Judah." Isn't that just like God? How often he uses humble things. This unlikely little town out there, off a dirt road somewhere probably. Well, they're all dirt roads, right? But this was the place of the great King David. And so we saw this foreshadowing out of this little town, insignificant in every way. God, the Savior of the world, would come. Humble beginnings. What a contrast to the extravagance that we associate with Christmas now, isn't it? And there's a place for it. I think that, you know, we celebrate, we have joy, and so, you know, the expressing joy, you want to be generous, you want to show the world. And so we do grand things and big and it's exciting, and then you forget the humble beginnings of that first Christmas. We see also in this Old Testament prophecy, this word that came to Micah, an assurance there of the promises that God has made. We see there, you know, he said, "You're coming forth as from Ancient of Days." That from the beginning, again, God had a plan. He had a plan, and it was coming true. We can hold on to God's word. All of it. All of this here, we know God is speaking, and it's true, and we can hang on to it. There's a divine eternal origin of this predicted Messiah, and here he is. Here he is. A baby sent to save us. To save us from our sin. A baby came to live and to die for us. And it's coming again. And we can be assured of that. We can be assured, just as they were groaning, "Oh Messiah, come. Where are you, Messiah?" We too can groan, and we do, but in the assurance of God's word and his promises made that yes, you are coming again. You will return to us again. I liked in the Micah passage of an idea of unity, of gathering. We're so broken and fragmented in our world today. It just saddens me over and over again. And here we see, "He shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor gives birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel." There will be a gathering. There will be a unity of God's people. And understand that even here, that net, that bringing in included us, the Gentiles. We see that the next verse. And they shall dwell secure, for now you shall be great to the ends of the earth. That's us. That's us today. In a broken, fragmented, violent, not peaceful world, he shall be our peace. He shall be our peace. So we need peace. This hope of Advent that we celebrate is needed now more than ever. More and more than ever. Wars and famines and pestilence and violence and kidnappings and government shutdowns or whatever it is. The message of Advent is for now. Amen. And then I love Mary's response to all this. She really is a model to us. And I don't want us to lose her sense of all what was happening. This young girl given this responsibility of the Savior of the world. It's incredible. And her response we see in that Luke passage then. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." She shows us the way. And we start out by magnifying and rejoicing. Her response to these words from Elizabeth were not to say, "Wow, I am really something." No. "Oh God, you are amazing. You are mighty. I rejoice in you." And it was with all of her being, my soul, my spirit. Is that your response today? When you're gathering a table and things are going crazy, can you say, "My soul rejoices, my spirit exalts God Almighty with everything I have"? It's hard to do sometimes. And we see here too, even in this, Mary recognizes her need for a Savior. That's what she says. "My God, my Savior." Right? Mary had her sin and needed a Savior too. And she rejoiced in God for it. And then in that response, she gives us the reasons why. And they are awesome. In verses 46 and 47, that passage. Oh, that was the other one. Sorry. In 48, she tells us why. He looked at my humble estate. Again, there's that humility. It's amazing to me how over and over and over again that theme pops up in Bethlehem, in a manger, shepherds, a baby. This is not how the world views a Savior, a King. And this is what God shows us. God so often uses people who are not great in the eyes of the world. That's how he does things over and over and over again. The great King David didn't measure up to Saul in height, but his heart was for God. Amen. It's not the world. It's not their way. And yet, it's how God does it over and over again for his great purposes. Great things are done by those of humble. Those who are humble. It means you. It means you. Me. You may not think that you have anything to offer. You may not think that God's going to do anything. We have a small church, a small town. That's exactly what God wants. He wants people who are willing to be humble and let God have the glory. Amen. We can do great things for God. We can. That is the promise we see in the response Mary gives. Interesting to me that Mary also mentions here the idea of setting a marker. You know, she said, "From now on, generations will call me blessed." That this was a significant event. This was something that you could put a post and look back on and hang on to. Mary, understanding the blessing, the honor of bearing Jesus, the Savior, a fulfillment of promises, an anticipation of great things, puts on a marker. From now on. And we see that throughout scriptures often. In significant times, you put down a pile of rocks, or make a date, or make a celebration, a feast, whatever it is, to mark God's faithfulness so we can look back and remember. Remember what God has done. When things are difficult, when things are looking down, when we're frustrated, or we're not seeing exactly what we want to see, we can look back at these markers and say without a doubt, God is faithful. Remember when he did this? Remember when he helped us here? We can do that. Amen. We need to do that. When we think that things are hopeless or wonder what God is doing, we can look back. God has worked here, Trinity Evangelical Free Church, Venable, Wisconsin. God has been faithful. That's why we tell each other these stories. That's why we share and come together and support each other, because we can put down markers and say, God has done great things. And from here on, we will remember what God has done. Ponder your markers. And Mary's marker in this was a submitting, a remembering of Jesus was her Lord, was her Savior. Maybe that's a mark for you. That day when you said, yes, Lord, I want to be yours. Forgive me. Maybe it's a baptism. You put on a marker and say, on this day, I want the world to know that I am following Christ. Remember those markers. Hold on to them. We are blessed for great things. And we see here a threat of grace. Mary, understanding that, who am I? Who am I to have this great blessing? Who are we for God to look at us and say, you are mine? It's grace from beginning to end. And Mary explains to us some great benefits to believers. And just list them. Reminds me a bit of like Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, so often in his epistles, would just go off and on this run-on sentences, how great God is. Blessed be the God and Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the spiritual realms with every blessing. And he goes on and on and on and on. And Mary just seems here to be just spilling out blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing. The merciful one, who is exalted the humble, who has filled the hungry, who has brought down the proud and has sent the rich away, who has fulfilled the promises of salvation in history. God is good, and we remember what he's done for us. And then lastly, in the lectionary scriptures, we had Hebrews 10. And I think, as I was looking at that this week, what that does is turns our attention back to what the season's really about. It's Jesus. It's about a Savior who came to save us from our sins. It's about a fulfillment, the only one who could save us. It's what Christmas is really, really about. It's so easy to be distracted by even the good things of Christmas, of family, of food, decorations, traditions, and lose sight of a baby who came to die. And subtle messages creep into our Christmas celebrations, right? Better watch out. Better not cry. Santa Claus is coming to town. He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Right? You have to be good enough. If you're not good enough, what do you get in your stocking if you're naughty? Love a coal, right? But if you're good, if you behave yourselves, then you deserve and can have a present. Right? Thank the Lord that is not how he works. Because I'd have a big, huge clump of coal every year. But he gives us grace. And so the Hebrews passage says, you consequently, when Christ came to the world, he said, sacrifices and offerings you have not desired. What? What was all that about? When you read the Old Testament and the building of a temple and the sacrifices, I mean, thousands and thousands of animals slaughtered and blood poured out and sprinkled and thrown and burned, and what was that all about? And Jesus said, I don't want that. That's not it at all. What would have been doing all this time? All that showed the futility that we faced. That's what it was about. And it was futile. So you had to keep on coming back again and again and again and again. And you're never really sure. Even all the laws, all the things, you could try to do your best, but you know, that's why the Pharisees rose up. They were so careful to do every little thing properly and just, and set, you know, if the bond was here, they would want to set the fence here just in case. And they never, ever really positive about it. And Jesus tells us that no, I have come to do God's will. And God's will was for me, the perfect sacrifice, to come once for all, to be done. That all that stuff, all the blood, all the sacrifices, all the burnt offerings, that's not going to do it. But it pointed you to what will. That was Jesus. One time for all. That's good news. That is the good news. And that's what it's about. At the end of the day, Advent, Christmas, all the stuff we're doing, trees and celebrating. Tonight we come together again and sing songs and celebrate together. It's about the coming of the perfect sacrifice. Because without it, we're lost. The old is gone, the new is come. That is good news. So today, as you go about your preparations and all the fun that's going to be here, I'm looking forward to every minute of it. The food, the gifts, the gathering around, family here, all those things. Maybe just take a moment and respond like Mary does. Respond, glory to God. My soul, my spirit, every part of my being rejoices in God my Savior. And if that's not where your heart is, maybe today's the day. Maybe today's the day when you say, yes, I want to really celebrate Christmas. Maybe for the first time. You can do that. You can do that today. Let me pray for us and thanks to God. Lord, I am so grateful for your coming, for your making the way, God, by your grace, that we can be right with you, that we can be saved, we can be cleansed of our sin. And Lord, I thank you even now in anticipation of your coming again. Lord, help us to be faithful. Help us, God, to wait and wait well. Forgive us, Lord, for our doubts, for our fears, and help us to cling on to the strong arm of God that Jesus enables us to hold on to by his blood. And so we thank you today for that great grace. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Have a good Christmas.